Congratulations, you. You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast. Yes, you are.
On the line, coming to us between Whanganui and Te Whanganui Aotearoa, we have the one and only Kala of Ursa here, originally from Otepoti, but you're now doing a tour in the North Island. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, great to be here.
Mm-hmm. It seems like every time we speak, you're always out of Dunedin.
Yeah, well, we've been based up in Tāmaki Makaurau for the last year and a half.
Oh, yes, you have been. Yeah. How has that been?
It's much warmer, and I've already acclimatized, so I'm preparing for the wintry north, south.
The wintry north. Nice, nice. And also, I think there's, like, more of an electronic-y scene over there, so you're more with your comrades and genre arms.
Yeah, no, it's, like, you know, a million people, so it's quite a few more people, which has been fun.
You're not finding it too overwhelming?
Nah, you find your little pockets. You know, you can find a tree every so often, but I do miss the, you know, the nature down south.
It's just so ubiquitous here. We don't really have to think about it.
Yeah.
It's really nice. How was your show at the Ministry of Works in Whanganui last night?
It was cool. It's a new venue.
It's a good name.
It's a beautiful big heritage building, and yeah, they built a stage just for us for last night, which is pretty nice. Mm-hmm. And it had actually quite a nice reverb that I think complemented the space. So yeah, if anyone's travelling through and want a venue, it's definitely a good option.
Also pays homage to the Ministry of Works, which did a lot of really awesome stuff.
True, of course.
Now, you're coming to us not only between these two cities, but also on a house bus.
Yes, I'm
inside. Which is very cool. Yeah. I'm seeing a fire in the background. Now, that normally would probably present quite a hazard.
No, it's fully, like, certified, like, it's as small as you can get and still have clean air certified. And it warms up the space. It's fully insulated, cedar clad. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we spent, like, the last 8 years converting it. It was an old school bus.
Nice. Yeah. It does look very modern. It looks really, really nice.
Yeah, all the wood finishings is nice.
So is that, I guess, your where you stay, is that your accommodation?
Yeah. So it's actually kind of been easy with moving, is you don't feel like you actually leave home, because home comes with you.
True. Mm. Does that mean that, like, you have to sit on a parcel of land in Auckland as, like, your postal address? Like, how do you get the mail?
Oh, we were renting, like, in Auckland, we rented a room and used it as a home studio. Oh. So it's a bedroom, and then this was our bedroom in the driveway. It was pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's real awesome, and it seems like it has functioning water as well.
Yeah, oh, we had a hot shower for the first time ever. Like, the bathroom's just been finished. This morning was the first time having a warm shower, which is amazing.
That's so exciting. Now, you've changed your name from just Kala to Kala of Ursa, to, I guess, call back to the nymph Callisto, who was transformed into the Ursa Major constellation. Do you have any particularly strong connection to Beers and or that myth and or that constellation?
Yeah, well, I was researching my namesake because Kala is a Greek name. And it's interesting because I don't even know if you can see the Great Bear constellation here, but, like, my ancestry does come from the Northern Hemisphere, as a lot of Pākehā do. And so I'm excited to actually be over that side of the world to look at it and see it. But yeah, I actually have a cat who is called Artemis, and Callisto was a follower of Artemis, which I didn't know at the time when she got her name. So I do feel like there are some astrological links going on.
And there's also an astrological link between Aotearoa and Greece, because the ancient Greeks, much like Māori, observed Matariki. That's the Pleiades, I think, is the Greek name for them.
Yeah, of course.
There's not a culture on Earth that hasn't, I think, seen the Matariki star cluster and been like, oh, that's nice. It looks good. Now, this album is the last in a series of projects you've been doing that are based around the natural elements. The Elemental series is concluded with this new record, Animal Reaction, symbolizing Earth. And I guess thematically, this album deals into the damage that we've inflicted upon Earth. When you think of environmental activism, who inspires you the most in that sphere?
Well, that's a really good question. I almost want to say David Attenborough.
Someone who's been so
connected for his entire life. Mm. And like the way that his documentary style shifted as he noticed the impact that humans were having on the natural environment.
Mm.
And how he's used his platform for advocacy instead. Like some of those documentaries that he's made with the BBC have been so impactful. And there's a new one that's just come out about trawling, which is cool because I'm helping score a documentary about deep sea trawling as well. So definitely drawing inspiration from that.
It's funny how, you know, we like to not pretend that we're environmentally conscious, but how the deep sea has become like an acceptable place to just destroy, you know, like deep sea mining and deep sea trawling and like, just depleting the orange roughy population because it's less visible than maybe like the surface ocean, you know. Yes,
super. Out of sight, out of mind.
Exactly, but not really because it's all one big system. Now, when I think of earthy sounds, I think of something like Plantasia or kind of just like a, I don't know, 1,000 millihertz hum or something, you know, something real deep and steady. And not dissimilar actually from the sub bass on Face Me. But how does Earth sound sonically to you prior to coming into this record?
Well, the way that I'm treating Earth in this record is like it's the giving voice to Mother Earth and almost personifying it. Like if Mother Earth could speak right now, what would she be saying? So I was sort of approaching it from that personified perspective.
But sonically, I guess.
Sonically, yeah. I mean, bass is a great example of it, you know, like that deep, low rumble and like lots of crunching and cracking as like, you know, plates move around.
You also include, what, animal samples on the first track, I believe?
It's a lot of lions.
Yeah, oh, it's lions. I thought they were wolves.
And actually, my cat's in that too. Right at the start, it's a little cur, and she's like smooching the microphone. It's really cute.
Oh, that's adorable. That's lovely.
Because you know, if you pitch a cat down, then they sound like a lion.
That makes sense. And a lion pitched up sounds like a cat.
Exactly.
Goes both ways. This album is really vibrant, and there's a lot of layers to a lot of the songs instrumentally. I mean, there's like piano, violin, all manner of synths, a plethora of percussion, as well as your voice. How was the recording process for this thing?
Yeah, well, I mean, a couple of the tracks are actually old tracks that didn't make it onto previous albums that I took a while to rework to get them to a point where I was like, oh, this is a finished track. Yeah, I mean, like, Face Me, honestly, I wrote that in about a day, and it just, you know, sometimes when you write a song and the flow is there and it all just comes out in, like, one go, that's what happened with Face Me, and then you know, something like To Be Sacred, I've been working on for probably, like, 4 years, honestly, and just, like, you know, adding bits and then taking away bits, and sometimes it gets to a point where all you need to do is subtract for it to be finished.
Less is more.
Yeah, exactly. It's something I'm working on.
Do you think you'd ever want to do a project where you do just go balls to the wall and get as maximal as you possibly can?
I feel like I already do that, to be honest. And
you can get crazy.
All right.
I challenge you.
Right, I'll take it on.
Speaking of Face Me, there's a line in the song, Face Me When You Hit The Ground, I'll Chase You Into Another World. The way I interpreted that, it felt like an invitation for those who exploit nature to maybe wake up and change their ways. Is that sort of around the ballpark of what we're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are layers to every song. You know, at a most minimalist layer, you can look at Face Me as a song written to a lover. But on that deeper level, it is like, you know, once you actually wake up to the reality of what's going on, like, let's create the world that we want to be the change that you want to see in the world.
For sure. Now, all I've known of your work really is that Burn EP, Burn Cycle, which is, you know, very synth-based, pretty dark, whereas on here we get a song like Dead Roam, where the second half is actually, like, very poppy.
It's such a pop.
You know, especially, like, how the, you know, the piano and the spiky synths kind of play off each other with the deep bass. Now, is that a style that you've done much of before?
No, and that was a collaboration with my sister, Missy, who's a producer. That's another track where I'd gotten a bit stuck on it, and I just... those big climactic sections are sort of like, hey, what can we do with this to make it pop? And she made it pop, literally, like the genre.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure. So when you often you find yourself stuck, do you usually seek out collaborators to maybe seek out more inspiration?
Yeah, it's what I've been inviting in more, because I think there's this, I don't know, like DIY attitude that Kiwis can hold, in a sense of like, I'll figure it out on my own. And it's been really fun as I progress on this music journey to invite in that collaboration space and the opportunities that come with it. So that's been really cool for this album, collaborating with Missy. And then Lola is another producer who I collaborated on for a couple of tracks of the album too.
I think you got her just around the right time, because she's now, I think, in the UK,
Scotland. Yeah, she's moving as well, which is great, because like, we're moving over together so we can...
Oh, you're moving to the UK?
Well, yeah. I'm moving to London.
Wow, wow. What's going to become of the bus?
The bus is going to be sold, so...
Oh my God.
It's not there.
That's so sad.
It is. But, like, we're ready to let it go. It's been, you know, a good 8 years.
Oh, well, you just had your first hot shower and time to say goodbye.
Didn't like that.
Now, you've done all the elements. Will there be another sort of framework for your next batch of albums, or do you reckon they'll be kind of just their own thing and they won't be really attached to a broader theme?
Yeah, it's interesting, because when I think about Earth Element, you know, this current album has quite an animalistic theme, and I was like, well, you could get smaller and you could talk about different forms of life.
True.
So yeah, I'm thinking about that, but one of the working titles for another album is From My Grandmother's Womb, and it's about the idea that when your mother is in your grandmother's womb, she already has all of her existing eggs that she will ever have, so you exist in your grandmother's womb through the maternal link. And part of my travel plan is to connect with my heritage as a Pākehā Kiwi and go back to Norway and other parts of Europe and Scandinavia to connect in with like traditions and music there. So this is an album that's building from that exploration.
That's so awesome. My goodness. Does that include a trip to Greece as well?
I don't have any Greek heritage, honestly.
Oh, right. I assumed you would.
My family, like, I know. But I do really, I love Greek mythology and Greek. I'm really fascinated by that ancient world, so I will definitely try and travel there.
For sure. Now, you said that you are scoring a documentary for a deep sea trawling documentary. Do you have any other projects aside from that and the In My Grandmother's Womb thing at the gun?
I think mostly just albums that I'm working on, and nothing. Yeah, things always pop up, you know. But I think the big thing is going to London to study my master's in music.
Keep that ball rolling, man. You've got so many plates spinning. Oh my God, it's very impeccable. It's very, very admirable. All right, I'm tossing up between Face Me and Dead Run, and I can't decide which one to play after this chat. What do you reckon?
I reckon Face Me, because we've had a chat about it.
Okay, good. Yeah, provide some context. Well, we'll do that very shortly. Thank you for coming on the program today. You are coming down to play, what, next week? Next Thursday or Friday?
Next Friday, 6th of June.
Mean.
Yeah.
Pearl Diver?
Dropkicks. Yeah.
Cool. Alrighty, well, we'll have to keep an eye on that. Do you have any final words for our listeners today?
I don't know. Album came out today. Have a listen. It's great. I'm stoked that it's out finally. It's been a long time coming, you know, years. So, and hopefully see you on the 6th of June.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. Well, thank you for coming on the program. Really appreciate it. And good luck with your adventures in foreign land.
Yeah, thank you, Zach.
Thank you very much. Fun. You too. Bye. All right, that was Kella. We're talking to them about their new record, Animal Reaction, which you can find anywhere. We're going to play Face Me from the record, and then maybe after that and one more track, we'll have a chat with ads here at the station. It's 10:16 here on The One. Here is Color of Ursa with Face Me, Ka Kite. Thank you for listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. There's heaps more at r1.co.nz.